Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Boom and Bust: A Global History of Financial Bubbles is a nonfiction history and economics book by William Quinn and John Dee Turner that examines major speculative manias across roughly three centuries, rather than treating bubbles as mysterious episodes of mass irrationality. The authors explain them through a structured framework they call the bubble triangle, which links marketability, expanding money and credit, and speculation. The book moves across historical cases such as the Mississippi bubble, the South Sea bubble, railway manias, the dot-com boom, the 2008 housing crisis, and bubbles in Japan and China. Its purpose is both explanatory and practical to help readers understand why bubbles form, how they spread, what damage they cause, and what kinds of policy responses may reduce future harm. The book is written for a broad audience, combining historical narrative with clear economic interpretation and emphasizing lessons that are relevant to investors, policymakers, and general readers. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the bubble triangle replaces vague ideas of irrational mania with a clear causal model. The book's central analytical contribution is the bubble triangle, a framework built around three conditions that tend to appear together before a bubble inflates: high marketability, abundant money and credit, and intense speculation. Quinn and Turner argue that this approach is more useful than simply saying investors become irrational, because irrationality is too broad to explain why bubbles begin in some periods and not others. By focusing on conditions that can be observed in markets, the book gives readers a way to compare very different episodes without reducing them to a single psychological explanation. This is one reason the book has been praised as accessible. It translates a complex subject into a memorable structure. At the same time, the triangle is not presented as a mechanical formula. It is an interpretive tool that helps explain why some assets become easier to trade, why leverage accelerates price growth, and why rising prices attract more buyers. The result is a model that is simple enough for non-specialists, but still strong enough to organize historical analysis. Secondly, historical case studies show that bubbles follow recurring patterns across countries and centuries. A major strength of the book is its global and historical range. Quinn and Turner trace financial bubbles from the early 18th century to the 21st century, including the Mississippi and South Sea episodes, the Dutch wind handle, railway manias, the Australian land boom, the Japanese bubble of the late 1980s, the dot-com collapse, the US housing bubble, and the Chinese stock market bubbles. This long view matters because it shows that bubbles are not tied to one country, one asset class, or one era of finance. The same broad structure can appear in public debt schemes, transport investment, housing, and technology stocks. The authors organize these examples in a consistent way, usually discussing history, causes, and consequences, which helps readers compare cases directly. The historical method also makes the book more than a warning about recent market volatility. It places modern episodes into a lineage of recurring financial behavior shaped by institutions, policy, and investor expectations. Readers come away with the sense that bubbles are historically specific events, but structurally similar enough to study together. Thirdly, innovation and policy often act as the sparks that ignite speculative surges. The book argues that bubbles frequently begin when investors and speculators respond to a new technological opportunity or a government initiative. This emphasis on sparks gives the analysis a more concrete starting point than vague crowd psychology. New railways, housing policies, financial innovations, or emerging technologies can create a believable story about future growth, and that story attracts capital quickly when the other parts of the triangle are already present. The authors do not claim that innovation or policy always cause bubbles by themselves. Rather, they show that such sparks can interact with liquidity and marketability to set off a rapid self-reinforcing boom. This is especially important because it shifts attention from blaming only speculative greed to examining the institutional and political environment that makes speculation possible. It also helps explain why governments often appear in bubble histories, not merely as observers but as active participants, whether through encouragement, deregulation, or promises of development. The book therefore treats bubble formation as a broader social process, rather than a private failure of judgment. Fourthly, the book weighs destructive busts against the rare cases where bubbles create lasting gains. Quinn and Turner do not present every bubble as equally harmful. One of the book's more interesting claims is that some bubbles can have mixed or even beneficial long-term effects, especially when they finance infrastructure or bring forward investment that might otherwise not happen. The railway mania is the classic example in this discussion, even if many investors lost money. The boom left behind a transport network with long-term economic significance. At the same time, the authors are careful not to romanticize bubbles. They show that many episodes produced severe losses, financial instability, fraud, and broader economic damage. The important point is that bubbles should be judged not only by the fate of investors, but by their wider social consequences. This perspective makes the book more nuanced than standard moralizing accounts of speculation. It also raises practical questions for policymakers. If some bubble-driven investment produces useful assets, the challenge is not simply to eliminate all booms, but to prevent the worst excesses while preserving genuinely productive capital formation. That balance is one of the book's most distinctive themes. Lastly, the practical value lies in spotting market conditions early rather than relying on hindsight. The book is not only a history of past crises, it also tries to improve future judgment. Its practical contribution is the idea that bubbles may be anticipated by watching for the combination of marketability, credit expansion, and speculation, especially when a new technology or policy change provides the initial trigger. The authors suggest that if investors, regulators, and policymakers can identify these conditions early, they may be better placed to limit damage. This makes the book especially relevant for readers interested in financial regulation, risk management, and market history. It also explains why the book has drawn attention beyond academia, including in policy and investment circles. At the same time, the book does not promise easy prediction. Historical bubbles are messy, and the exact spark is not always obvious in real time. Still, the framework helps readers move beyond the common habit of recognizing a bubble only after it bursts. In that sense, the book is useful both as a guide to financial history and as a disciplined way of thinking about market danger. In conclusion, Boom and Bust: A Global History of Financial Bubbles should be read by anyone who wants a serious but accessible account of how speculative manias develop and why they matter. It is especially useful for students of economics, investors trying to understand recurring market behavior, policymakers concerned with financial stability, and general readers interested in financial history. The book offers more than a survey of famous crashes. Its main value lies in the bubble triangle, a compact framework that links historical episodes across time and geography without reducing them to simple greed or madness. That gives the book an analytical clarity that many bubble histories lack. It also stands out for its balance. The authors acknowledge that some bubbles can leave behind useful assets, while still showing how damaging most episodes are when credit, speculation, and policy reinforcement combine. Compared with more anecdotal or moralizing books on market excess, this one is more systematic, more global, and more policy relevant. Readers looking for a concise intellectual model of bubbles, grounded in historical evidence, will find it particularly rewarding. If you would like to support William Quinn, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.